First thing you'll notice, I am not Dr. Sharon Clay. I am now Dr. Stephanie Bruggemann. Sharon couldn't be here today, but she was going to present on my dissertation project. So this is a very condensed, small part of what we've been looking at. And I'm going to throw some puzzle pieces out at you that hopefully will help us figure a few more things out. But I'm sure as the seasoned vets know, the more we know, the more we don't know. So, with that, weed presence obviously causes detrimental yield effects even when resources are plentiful, which we've been told over and over again in the last few talks. Some of the potential reasons for yield effects in corn, photosynthesis inhibition, reduced nutrient uptake via roots, which we showed in different landscapes this can occur. If you're on the ridges, you're going to have different issues than on the foot slope and on the toe slopes. Reduced root growth has been shown in weed presence, and there's altered seedling emergence when weeds are present. Now, this weeds cause issues. However, integrated crop weeding and weed management has been done in different ways over the years. Long time ago, the Three Sisters method, which you've heard but may not know what it is, it was companion planting, and it was done in this very specific manner. You plant the corn after the danger of frost has passed, and then you wait until the corn grows, and you plant the pole beans when the corn is 5 inches or higher so, and then you plant squash seeds. So you're not having the corn emerge when the pole beans or the squash is already in the ground. You don't plant them all at the same time. However, and this was used successfully for generations, but they focused on sustainability and not speed. And so knowing that weeds cause issues upon emergence, and knowing that you can successfully intercrop with certain varieties, perhaps, and there's a little bit more information I need to pop at you before I go into my thing. Weed tolerance is the ability to maintain yield when challenged with weed stress. Now, Williams and others have shown that some modern corn varieties demonstrate minimal to moderate weed tolerance levels. And so some varieties just do better with weed stress than others, but nobody knows why. All right. It's been hypothesized that it's because of canopy closure, so the rate of canopy closure, that may affect it. It's also been proposed that it's the leaf angle, the degree of leaf angle in corn. It's been proposed that it's the leaf width in corn, but no single observable phenotypic trait has been associated with weed tolerance. All right, so why is that? Teosinte is the ancestor of corn, and using a wild ancestor as a genetic resource for modern-day crops is not a new thing, okay? Bananas, potatoes, tomatoes, lots of different things that we eat now have benefited from wild ancestors. Well, teosinte is not our unique novel idea, and there's other traits being investigated in teosinte for use in corn. Circadian clock, corn rootworm resistance, shade avoidance response issues, starch, protein oil, zein and amino acids, and other things. I think earlier this morning, one of Sherry Flint Garcia's groups gave a talk on the zein and starch in corn seeds. So, keeping in mind that weed tolerance happens, and teosinte is the ancestor of maize and maybe uses a crop-wide relative, we propose that maize and teosinte may contain a conserved weed response mechanism which may be manipulated to our benefit to improve modern-day corn genetics. And so via the RNA-seq and looking at transcriptomics, we wanted to identify similarities and differences in the gene responses to weed pressure in multiple corn and teosinte lines. Now this is teosinte, if nobody's seen it. There's a lot of different varieties of teosinte, and some look like grasses, and some look a little bit more like corn. The R lines that we use mostly look like the grasses. Quick methods overview, field experiments in four different years at Aurora, very flat, productive piece of land. Weedy and non-weedy treatments, we used the natural weed populations that were there for the most part. One year we added some beans to the side, but that was overkill, we decided, so we didn't do that again. Herbicide control weeds in 07-08, we hand weeded them in 2013 and 2014. I advise you to have a large crew of undergrads if you undertake hand weeding 168 plots. We use dent corn, sweet corn, flint corn, or heritage lines, and Teosinte lines were evaluated. We collected samples at V8. We were going to do it earlier, but the day before we collected, a windstorm went through and blew some things down. These are the corn and Teosinte selections that we evaluated in the years we evaluated them. These are all for the field part of the experiment, which we're not going to get into. We're going to get into these. These are the lines that we sequenced so far. Spring Treat is a sweet corn. Coho is also sweet corn, and they were looked at before by another group. We used a dent corn Viking 9091 and two Teosinte lines down here, the Ames 21789 and Ames 21812, over 2 years. We did have differentially expressed genes per variety when you compare the control to the weedy, which is good, which is what you want. We also had yield loss differences. Some of the corn lost a lot when the weeds were present year-round. Viking actually gained some yield in a quirky, weird sort of way, which kind of was what we were looking for. We wanted tolerance. We got it. Coho in 2014 lost 23% of yield. Spring Treat, the TOs, we were based on biomass because where we grow up, you don't get TO grain. You get TO biomass. And I'm not going to go out and put buckets on TO every day, every night to get grain. The weather was a little bit different, and we had weed species that were mostly the same. One year we had canola. All right, gene expression differences. We're going to go in dent corn first. We had very, very few conserved differentially expressed genes among the three dent lines that we looked at. We have some cell wall precursors, a few stresses. The one that we can see, there's an aspartyl protease family protein coding gene that was downregulated in all three. But for the most part, we have different pattern. We were looking for consistencies, okay? Or glaring differences. Sweet corn 2014 and spring treat 2014, we had another one, the signaling receptor, all had a downward trend. These all had an upward trend, lipid metabolism mostly, and a few stress, cell motility. But again, we want consistencies. So when we put these into MAPMAM looks at significantly differentially expressed genes and gives you a picture instead of numbers, which is kind of nice. And so we have differences, right? There's differences between 2007 and 2008 in the dent corn. Photorespiration in one of them was and it was very, very much down in the 2008 model. A lot of things affected in this variety this year versus the other variety next year. Again, the Viking that we had, which maintained yield, had different light reactions compared to the spring treat. The photorespiration was, again, different. So we did have some common gene sets affected in corn, though. UDP, glucosyl, and glucuronyl transferases were pretty much the same, affected the same in all the corn selections that we looked at. Quercetin 370 glucosyl transferase and jasmonic acid signaling. These are all involved in different things. Plant stress response, flavonoid biosynthesis. Jasmonic acid was kind of a gimme, but differences in transcriptomic response in Teosinte. Now, I thought Teosinte would have some commonalities. Different. Light reactions were different. Photorespiration was different. the up-regulated ontologies or subnetworks that we did find were mostly defense and hormone-related. And we did see photosynthesis down-regulated, carbon cycle down-regulated, light down-regulated in Teosinte. And so when you look at what Teosinte had in common, what they shared, what in common they had compared to the dent lines, they're different. So cytochrome P450, which is kind of a little interesting thing that does almost everything. The blue is upregulated, red is downregulated. We have differences here. This is dent corn line 1, which is Viking, and it maintained yield, which is different in these areas. Oxidation, UDP, O-methyltransferase. These are different. We have all these differences. But when you look overall and you look at the genes affected, there's like the top 10 list, all right? And in Teosinte and corn, we did have the top 4 that were the same that were affected. Protein, RNA, and transport. A lot of these miscellaneous were UDP and cytochrome P450s. The only differences in the top 13 of corn and Teo were hormone metabolism was affected in Teo more than in corn, and cell-related genes were affected more in corn than in Teo. So if you take the individual gene functions and you categorize them by the number affected, either up or down-regulated in wheaty compared to control, these are the rankings in corn, the top 10 in corn. And these are the rankings in Teo corresponding to these functions. So there's a set that differ greatly in gene ranking. The top number 2 and number 3 in corn is way down here, number 20 and number 25 in Teosinte. So there's different mechanisms at work here. The motif lipase is number 7 in corn, but way down in number 30 in Teosinte. Only 3 of them were affected in Teosinte. And I know Dave just mentioned that they did find lipase in soybean as well when they were looking at genes affected. So overall, in corn and Teosinte, we have some gene set ontologies that are conserved. Desmonic acid signaling, UDP glucosyl, and the quercetin. And the one thing I want you to notice is that Viking is the only one that maintained yield. And this jasmonic acid signaling was the only conserved between all of them that differed between the one that maintained yield and all the rest of them that lost yield. So in summary, we did identify similarities and differences using the RNA between the multiple corn and the Teosinte lines. There were few conserved ontologies associated with the weed response, and certainly not exactly what we were looking for. And there weren't really any, there were no conserved individual genes, not one, associated with weed response. So both the morphologic and transcriptomic responses to weeds appear to be individualistic in corn and Teosinte. In all our varieties, they were different. There were a few conserved gene ontologies associated with the weed response. There's limited, very limited evidence of a conserved response associated with light response, photosynthesis, nutrients, or water stress, which we were kind of looking for. This was all done in the field, right? Plant response to biotic stresses in vivo in the field may complicate interpretations of gene response based on in vivo investigations, those done in the lab and those done in the growth chamber. I don't want to say may simplify things, but when you throw things into a field environment, you have all these different stresses and all these different effects. And when you knock down one domino, maybe it took out the other domino that was going to be affected, and it's a very, very complex system that we deal with. Weeds trigger diverse transcriptomics within the responses and selections that we study, And unfortunately, there may be no specific gene or mechanism in corn that would improve weed tolerance. Now, saying that, like I said, there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle that we don't understand, and there's more than one way to skin a cat. So might be a way to get this done anyway, if we can figure it out. We do have more lines. The lines that I showed you that we haven't sequenced yet, we are going to sequence a bunch of those to try to add into our data set to see if we can ferret something out. We need to look in further to see the roles of the conserved genes that are found in the UDP and jasmonic acid response and quercetin groups. And we'd like to see some, if we can find some correlations in the gene expression patterns with the tolerance versus the intolerance. Because we did have a group that was more tolerant than others, but because of funding, this first go-around, we could only do a few sets of varieties. So I'd like to acknowledge a lot of different people, places, funding sources. Sharon, David, Schaefflin, Garcia, and this is the crew that was out in the field with me. And then my kids that helped plant on a Saturday. So, any questions? When we put the Teosinte data into the software programs, we got list after list of pathways and subnetworks affected compared to a much smaller set in any of the corn lines that we looked at. You know, and that's the great thing about wild relatives is that you have this whole huge thing to look at. But on the other hand, you have this whole huge, you know, resource to look at. We did five Teosinte lines. The other thing about Teosinte is that one of the lines that we had, 1 year it was short in response to weeds, and the next year it was tall in response to weeds. It was the same line, the same seed batch. There's some really interesting plasticity going on, especially in those wild lines. I didn't see as much per se in the corn for plasticity as it did in the teal. They're very, very interesting species to work with. And the biomass, if we could grow them for biomass where we're at, have this little itty bitty seed, and you have this huge, huge bunch of grass. But that's neither here nor there. Just
I missed the part. When you did
most recently expanded leaf of corn at the top 4 inches.
And you stayed with that for your whole analysis?
We've done that ever since we started, yep.
Because there's a paper out that said like the corn leaf is very common.
Yep.
Be sure your sample grew.
And
you did that?
Yeah, we take, yep.
You didn't take a composite sample of the whole leaf?
No. Nope.
It stayed specific.
Stayed very specific between 11 and 2, and we were the first ones that went through there.
Yeah.
I, being in the field, you have to try to eliminate all the variability that you can. And I saw that same paper, whereas you go down the leaf, you get different effects. Yeah. Now, knowing what we know now, would I do it differently? Would I take it earlier and then later? Yes. But we didn't have that option.
Any other questions?